Well, that's good because you see, Cheryl, I want you to remember me always.
Do you?
Yes.
I will, every time I dust.
Seven out of ten proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show. And the feeling that I feel for you is more than strong. Take it from me. If you get a little more than you're asking for, your love will turn the key. Darling mine, I will wait for you. I remember last time Cheryl Ives was on the show. I think we played this for her. Do you remember? Do you remember doing
that? Of course, we have to.
I'm sure she never has people do that.
See, I was trying to get a copy of Annie Get Your Gun, which, you know, I can everything you can do, I can do better. But I couldn't find a copy of her singing it. I've got a whole bunch of other ones. I didn't think Ethel Merman would be the nicest way to sort of start this one out.
Well, Broadway, movies, television, author, oh my goodness, Cheryl Ladd is so much more than Charlie's Angel. She's played roles in NBC's Las Vegas and ABC's Hope and Faith. Cheryl has worked with Michael Caine, Sam Elliott, Steve Martin, Michael Landon, John Schneider, Tom Skerritt, Drew Barrymore, Kris Kristofferson. Cheryl stars in a new film, though, set to open in theaters July 11th, called The Perfect Wave, along with Clint Eastwood's Boy and rising Hollywood star Scott Eastwood. Scott Eastwood. I watched the thing last night. I have something. Well, I'd like to be rather curt with Cheryl Ladd, if
Uh-oh.
You don't mind.
All right,
Cheryl.
Yes.
Hi. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. You have to say why. Well, because you made me cry in the movie, and I'm not impressed with the fact that I was sitting there watching a movie, grown man crying. Not cool.
I love that you cried. You know what? You wouldn't be a human being if you didn't cry. I love that you cried.
Well,
you can't help it. It's pretty powerful, huh?
The soft spot for me is whenever something happens to somebody's kid, and that scene where you pray your face off on the bed and then collapse on the floor, I was gone. Gone. So thanks for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the phone. On the phone with the hottest Mrs. Santa Claus in the history of Mrs. Kringles.
Thank you. I'll take that.
So can I just ask it now? I haven't done enough creepy research to know the answer to this, so I might be just putting my foot into this right away. But Crockett, the Labradoodle, still going strong?
He is. He's just amazing. He's going to be 8 in December, and he's extraordinary. He's my baby because all my actually not today because I have my granddaughter who's 2 visiting me for the weekend, visiting my husband and I. We're having the time of our lives with her.
Okay. Let me just be curt one more time, please. Cheryl Ladd is not a grandmother.
Cheryl Ladd is a grandmother and good at it, too.
Well.
I'm a good granny, Henny.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a spoiler kind of granny, or are you a let me help you parent granny? I mean, what kind of granny are you?
I'm completely supportive of the mother-father granny when they're with them, and then when they're with me, I'm completely supportive of how I want to be a granny.
But are you
Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
I'll put it to you this way. We got outed by our grandson once because his mother finally decided to let him have a popsicle, and then she was having a popsicle, and he finished his. And he said, "Can I have some of yours, Mommy?" And she said, "No, honey, you just finished yours. You ate yours. No, I'm going to eat mine." He said, "That's just what Grandma said when she gave me a popsicle."
Oh, I hate when that happens.
I hate. I got so busted. And my daughter called and said, "You are so busted, popsicle giver."
That's funny.
It was pretty cute.
The worst time my daughter ever outed me was we were coming back from visiting our sponsor, a child in Nicaragua, and I bought some cigars, and some were Cuban, some were Nicaraguan, and we came back through Houston, which is, I don't know whether you realize this, part of the United States of America. On the way back to Toronto, Canada. And I forgot about the fact we had to go through customs, security, whatever. And so the guy says, with my 13-year-old daughter standing beside me, "Do you have any alcohol, firearms, or tobacco?" And I'm thinking, I'm just stopping in the airport for a little bit. I'm okay with lying because I'm going to Canada in a couple of hours. So I said, "No." My daughter goes, "Dad, what about those cigars you got?"
Of course she did.
So I go, oh, yeah, yeah. And I pull out a little 12-pack and... And he says, oh, okay, all right, that's fine. Anything else? I said, nope, my daughter. Dad, what about those other cigars in the box that you have? What a jerk.
Yep.
Anyway.
Okay, I have one more quick one for you. my daughter Jordan, when she was about two, just a few months past two, and you know, you can take a baby on the plane, but yeah, if they're over two, you have to pay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't Charlie's Angel yet, so I was trying to save a few dollars. Uh-huh. So, you know, so kill me. So I get on the plane with her, and I said, honey, we're going to play a game. We're going to play that you're a little baby. You want to play baby? And she said, yes. She thought that was a great idea. So it all is going fine, and she's cooing and doing, and we're giggling and having this little fun game going on, and I doze off. And I hear the waitress come down, the stewardess come down and say, would anyone like anything to drink? She said, would you like something to drink? And Jordan said, yes, I'd like some Perrier with lemon, please.
Oops. I hate when that happens.
I just was so busted again.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Okay, let me ask you a very serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Barry Behringer? Do you know who that is?
Barry Behringer?
Yeah, does that ring any bells at all? No, nothing?
Not so much.
Okay, let me read to you something that I found. You tell me if this rings a bell. And maybe it's just lies. Maybe it's got nothing to do with reality. That's what this interview is going to be about. Because last time I went through your whole life, and I don't want to do that again. So this time, let's just go through the lies.
Okay, good.
Perhaps the most unique long-distance dedication, though, came in April 1979. Casey Kasem read a long-distance... did I trigger something?
Yes.
Okay, I'll keep going because I think I got it. From then high school student Barry Behringer, who openly invited actress Cheryl Ladd to his school's prom. Barry sent Ladd an invitation complete with candy. Wonder how Candy felt about that. Cheryl couldn't make it. She was married after all, but did take the time to call Barry to thank him for the thoughtful invitation. In February 1980, Casey would read a follow-up letter from Behringer about Ladd's call. Casey's staff checked on it to verify that it was indeed Ladd who made the phone call. True or not true?
It's all true. That was the Barry Behringer. Because somewhere way in the recesses of my mind, I'm thinking... That does sound kind of familiar. I just can't think of who it is. And now you reminded me. And how about Casey Kasem?
I know.
Bless his heart. Bless his soul. Nice man he was.
I just found out recently, and I'm embarrassed to admit this because I am the king of useless television trivia, that Casey was the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
And you were the voice of who on what?
Melody on Josie and the Pussycats.
Nice.
That was my first job in California.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Let's do some more true or not true or did you know about Charlie's Angels, okay? This is just some useless trivia. And you tell me if this is true or not, okay?
All right.
The poor office staff for Charlie's Angels TV show had to deal with as many as 18,000 fan letters each week. I'm assuming you didn't know the number, but you were getting a boatload. True?
True.
The producers of Charlie's Angels originally wanted a blonde, a redhead, and a brunette for the ladies on Charlie's Angels, but they were so impressed with Kate Jackson and Jacqueline Smith's auditions that they happily did without the redhead. And know anything about that?
True.
Wow, I'm good. The actor who was first hired to provide the voice of Charlie was fired early on when he showed up drunk for work. John Forsythe was practically begged to take the job and eventually agreed.
Yeah, they begged him to take that job and he said yes.
What about the drunk guy?
I'm not talking about that. But that story is true.
Okay. Aaron Spelling produced this TV show and so many others, right? Aaron Spelling owed Robert Wagner some money for a previous business deal and talked the very reluctant Wagner into accepting a 45% ownership of the Charlie's Angels TV show as payment. Wagner stated that the idea of a show where three small young women kicking tough guys' butts was the worst idea he'd ever heard. Obviously, he was eventually very happy he took the deal. True?
Yeah, definitely. He was, and we laugh about it, he and I, all the time.
Really?
Yeah. He's a great guy. He's a pal of mine.
Is he?
Uh-huh.
Best Robert Wagner stuff was him busting up on Carol Burnett.
I didn't see that one, and I thought I saw every episode of Carol Burnett.
Yeah, very, very, very fun.
It was hard not to bust up when you did Carol Burnett's show, though.
Well, yeah, because when I had Tim Conway on a few years ago, he informed me that the reason the other characters would break up, and he really, it was him that was breaking them up, was because he was also a writer on the show, and he would hold stuff back until they actually went to tape. And so we throw out all this surprise stuff at them. Like, for example, do you remember the dentist sketch?
Oh, yeah. I just watched it again the other day. Someone sent it to me and reminded me of it. I'm so glad you're talking about this because it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen because Harvey Keitel could not keep... Not Harvey Keitel. You know who I meant.
Yeah, Harvey Korman, yeah.
Harvey Korman. He could not keep it together. It was hilarious.
Yeah, well, Tim said they tried the sketch earlier, and it was kind of dry and boring and whatever else. And Tim said, you know, I've got something I think that'll work, but let's just, trust me, I'll just bring it out, and it'll work fine. And it was his idea to bring the Novocaine aspect into the whole thing.
It was just fantastic.
All right, let's move along here. Jill Monroe's hairstyle became such a hit with Charlie's Angels female viewers that a huge number of them changed to what became popularly known as the Farrah Fawcett hairdo. Obviously, that's a yes, that's true. I want to know if there was a Cheryl Ladd do.
Well, let's see.
And I'm thankful that they did not copy your Mrs. Santa Claus do, because that would just be weird.
That would just be weird. I did do a couple of episodes where I had my hair in braids that were crisscrossed the top of my head, top of my head, and then I saw a few girls wearing that. But no, it never became
a thing.
The one.
No. Charlie's Angels was the first TV show to get more than $100,000 per minute for advertising.
I think that's true. I don't know.
I've got so much more here, but I don't want to bore you. You know what I really want to do? I want to talk about this movie for a second, and then I want to do a fun little thing at the end. What kind of mood are you in?
I'm in a great mood today.
Are you? Good. Okay. Well, we're going to have some fun at the end.
Okay.
Mr. Eastwood Jr., are you kidding me? Let's talk about his crow's feet. He's, what, 28, and he's got Clint crow's feet already. Let's talk about the exact same stinking nose as Clint.
He's so attractive. It's scary. He's just so... He's got a real face. He's attractive now, but when he's 40...
Oh, yeah.
It's all just going to be on fire. I'm just saying. He'll have all the man part. I mean, he has the man part now, but he's still boyish. But when he's 40, look out.
You know, I was hooked in that movie for a couple of years. I mean, the surf thing. Did you get to travel to any? Is that all filmed
in South Africa? So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was my first time in Cape Town, South Africa. First time in Africa. And, yeah, it was amazing. And speaking of surfing, how about that night surfing? Was that easy good?
That was crazy, crazy scene. You know, Cheryl and I are doing insider talking. Tim, let me bring you in on the conversation.
Okay, I'll represent the audience.
Thank you. Tim, they do this night surfing scene, and they have these wetsuits, wetsuits on, and they've got, fluorescent lights all over
really?
Them, and their surfboards are lit up as well, and it is the coolest scene. Do you not think that the lights like that would bring sharks, though, Cheryl?
You know, especially in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
They're famous.
Do you know, one of my favorite places to visit is Menemsha, and it's on the far point of Martha's Vineyard, and that's where they filmed Jaws, in the little untouched fishing village there. You go down, you've been to Martha's Vineyard, obviously. Have you been to Menemsha? Cheryl, go to Martha's Vineyard, go to Menemsha, order your lobster, and they will have it ready for you at sunset, cracked, cooked, butter. Get a bottle of wine, couple of lawn chairs, sit on the beach, watch the sunset.
I'm there. I'm there in my mind.
Okay.
I'm there right now in my mind.
Rachel Hendricks. And this story does have the multifaceted. It's got the relationship twists and the, what am I trying to say?
Life journey aspect.
Yes, yes.
He really, It's everybody can relate to it.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the thing that happens, it's so powerful. It's so powerful.
Why do you, I'm wondering, did everybody who participated in this movie, because this is an overt Jesus movie, okay?
It is about a man who has an amazing Jesus experience.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Ian McCormick, his life story.
Ian McCormick, who is an incredible human being. He and I have become very close, and actually we did a speaking engagement together a month or two ago, and he's an amazing human being.
I'm quite impressed with the cinematography how everything was put together, the conflict in the story and the character development, the plot. But, man, just the waves and the ocean and just the whole... And it's the whole, you know, the dude wants to, you know, just go out and do life and be free and travel. And, you know, look, I've got a 25-year-old who decided to go back to Australia a few years ago. He's getting married in a couple of weeks. But a few years ago, he decided to go back to Australia. And, man, on his own, and my goodness, as a parent, you know, you're just... I remember literally, Cheryl, when I dropped him off at the airport, say goodbye, and he went through customs, I was crying so hard, I actually, I'm not melodramatic, had to grab onto a railing so I wasn't going to fall over. It was horrible.
So you could really relate to my character.
Yes, totally.
Who was really feeling exactly that same way and just had this terrible fear, I think. And then obviously then had a vision of something horrible happening. Talk about a woman that was desperately crazed and trying to save her son's life. I mean, she gave it all up.
Yeah, you laid it out there. Just your acting job, you laid it all out. So good job. Anyway, wanted to say that. So July 11th, it hits in certain theaters, and it's called The Perfect Wave, and you'll hear lots more about it. If you can't see it at a theater, I'm sure you'll be able to pick it up afterwards. It's a great story.
Thank you so much, Drew. You know what? Yeah. I love that you cried. I love you.
Stop. Why are you going to bring that up again?
I liked you before when we talked. I thought you were great, but... the fact that you told me you cried.
She says it again.
I hope I get to meet you one of these days.
All right, you ready to have a little fun?
He'll probably cry when he meets you, though. Watch out.
I'll bring Kleenex. It'll be fine.
All right. Okay. This is getting creepy.
This is getting creepy now.
I want to do something fun here. We're going to pull your volume down a little bit because Tim has to dial a phone number. So here's what we're going to do. What was the name of the detective agency that you worked for?
Charles Townsend.
Right. It was called the Townsend Detective Agency.
Yes.
I Googled and found an organization, an outfit called the Townsend Detective Agency. It's run by Catherine Townsend. We're going to phone her. I'm going to ask her if they're hiring at all, if they could use any staff, because I have a perfect candidate for someone to work for the Townsend Detective Agency.
Okay, cool.
You ready?
Yeah.
We'll see how she handles this. All right, so you be quiet there, Cheryl. Don't say anything. She may not even answer, and this thing goes down the toilet if... Okay, there we go.
Hello?
Oh, hi, is this Catherine Townsend?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Catherine. My name's Drew Marshall, and I understand you're the owner of the Townsend Detective Agency. Is that right?
I am, that's right.
Okay, I wanted to know, it's kind of an awkward question, but I'm up here in Toronto.
I get a lot of those.
Oh, do you? Okay, all right. I'm up here in Toronto, Canada. And I just wanted to know, I'm friends with someone who I think would be excellent to actually work for you. Are you hiring at all?
I'm not right now. I'm actually I just got licensed in New York State. So I'm like between New York and LA a lot.
Right.
So I may be hiring soon because I'm definitely going to need, I'm going to need someone in the next couple months probably, but not yet.
Okay.
And I just need to sort of figure it out. Oh, I was just going to say, feel free, what does this person do?
Well, okay, so ironically, they, in their past, they worked for an organization called the Townsend Detective Agency. Isn't that ironic?
Right, that's so funny, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, how did you come up with that name?
It's just your
last name, but have you ever heard of another Townsend Detective Agency?
I know it's Charlie's Angels. I get it. It's so funny. I get that a lot. I was a journalist for a long time, and then when I came up with the name, I actually really didn't think about it.
Uh-huh.
Weirdly enough, I was trying to find something that, because I trademarked the name The Love Detective, and I blog and write a lot, so I wanted something that didn't sound like it was in the entertainment industry at all.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that it turned out to be Charlie's Angels' name.
Oh, I know. Did you ever watch any of the episodes?
I did, yeah, like for a long time ago when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was kind of before my time, but I don't... it was a great show. I never put two and two together.
But it's just kind of funny. I mean, I can remember, like, who was there? Farrah Fawcett. There was Jacqueline Smith. No, Jacqueline. Yeah. There was Kate. And then there was, who was the other one that came in? Cheryl Ladd, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Do you remember Cheryl Ladd?
Of course. Yeah, I remember.
That's actually the person I want to pitch to work for your company. And she's on the phone with us right now. Cheryl, are you there?
Hi, Catherine. It's Chris Monroe.
Oh, my gosh. Hi. How are you?
I just got to let you know, Catherine, you're actually live on the Drew Marshall Show, and our guest today is Cheryl Ladd. And
you guys punked me.
Yeah.
Hey, Catherine, how's work going?
How's work going, Catherine?
It's going really well. I'm super busy. I was telling the truth about that. There are a lot of crazy people, as you guys obviously know.
Okay, have you ever had to pull the firearm and yell freeze? I just need to know.
Yeah.
I have not, Cheryl, but I'll tell you what I have done. I got to say, I was on the surveillance in New York about 2 weeks ago, and I actually got to say, follow that cab. I was really excited. I jumped in the back of a cab, and I said, follow that cab.
Okay. Did you ever say, are you okay?
Are you okay,
Chris? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm great.
Oh, my goodness. Cheryl.
You are a great sport, Catherine. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Cheryl, just a word of advice to Catherine Townsend. You know, Catherine is the owner of the Townsend Detective Agency. Her website is lovedetective.com. It's a great little outfit. But I would like some advice from Cheryl Ladd to Catherine Townsend, the private detective. What would you say to Catherine?
Keep your powder dry and on your nose.
Did you really say that? Keep your powder dry and on your nose. That is classic. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, I can figure out where you guys live if I'm not happy. So you better make me look good on air.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, Catherine, we really, really wish you the best, and thanks for being such a good sport about this.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, guys. It's hilarious. I'm almost never surprised, so thank you.
Okay. All right.
Bye, Catherine.
Bye, Catherine.
Bye.
Okay, that was way fun.
Oh, that was so good.
That was awesome.
So good. You're the best. You know what? I have two favorite guests over the years. They've been on multiple times. Kathy Lee Gifford has become a good friend, and Candace Cameron Bure, who played DJ in Full House, become a good friend as well. I think you're in the cool group now.
I'm one of the cool kids. You like me. You really like me.
Third place, so that actually makes you Canadian.
Yeah, we're happy with third up here in Canada.
I like those Canadians. You know, my husband went to high school and lived in Canada and had his music career start in Canada.
That's right.
By the way, can I just say something, Drew?
Yeah, please.
I just want to say to your listeners that my husband's novel is out. It's called Scribe. S-C-R-I-B-E, Scribe. It is getting phenomenal reviews. And I just want everybody to get on Amazon and look at it. Brian Russell, Scribe.
I have actually heard more than one person. You are maybe the third person to tell me about this book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's people are just loving it. They don't want it to end. So many of the reviews say that they just get lost in it, and they just don't want it to be over. It's so good, and he actually is writing a sequel. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, there's nothing like a shameless plug, and that was nothing like a shameless plug.
Drew, you have to. I just want you to read it so you and I can talk about it.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll read it.
Fine.
Gee, oh, man. Cheryl Ladd, folks, always a pleasure to have her on the show, and you need to check out the latest, greatest movie that she's in, The Perfect Wave. Cheryl, you are fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Drew. Great to be with you guys.
Hopefully we'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. They say that love is hard to find. Sure found it hard to find my. She said, you can only love what you die for, babe. But shall I live life so I can find you? And don't let darkness hide you from my face, baby. Shall I live life so I can find you? Well,
hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But If you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.